Good morning and God bless you. If you guys want to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1, we're going to begin there in the scriptures this morning. Last night's teaching was so remarkable and challenging. And I definitely had to go to the prayer house and pour out before God. I know you, God. Like the comment that you shared last night where I love my Heavenly Father, but I want to love my Lord, and I want to love Him more. And realizing my own shortcomings in that was pretty humbling, to say the least. But God is faithful, and He's going to answer my prayer. And if it's your prayer, too, He's going to answer that. And so, but this morning, it's going to be a building block, a stepping stone to get there, because we're actually going back to the birth of Christ. And today's topic is Emmanuel, and how that was one of something that Jesus was called, was Emmanuel, and what that means. And when I had this topic, I was pretty sure I understood it, and then I didn't at all. I was like, oh, okay. So, and you know what? Next year, if you ask me about this, I bet I'll tell you even more. But this is what I understand to be true from God's word about this topic, and I believe that it's going to help us love our Lord more about what it is. So we're going to be kind of looking at the birth of Christ this morning. And in Matthew 1:1, this light is like directly beaming me, so whenever I look up and then I look down, I can't read my Bible. Yeah. I have to blink a little bit. Okay, that's better. Is that okay if I'm not like lit up? Thank you. The word lights me up, right? All right, I'm almost there. My right eye sees, my left eye doesn't. All right. Frailty of man, right? But okay, Matthew 1:1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. This is a record of Jesus Christ, and it begins with him being called the son of David and the son of Abraham. And I believe that that indicates something very significant for us. Because was Jesus Christ, did God just come up with a plan and then the next day give him? No. It was a plan. It was a promise, and it was way back in the garden. And we're not going to go back into Genesis 3 today, but Jesus Christ was planned. He was thought of way back when. And when we get to Matthew, it says that he was the son of David and the son of Abraham. These were two people that God had made promises to regarding Jesus Christ, that he was going to become from the house of David, and that he was going to be a son of Abraham. He had sworn an oath to Abraham about this Messiah one day to come. Go to verse 18. We're getting to my topic, I promise. So I'll lead up. And Matthew 1:18, it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. It came about this way. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. So we're just going to kind of take this verse by verse. Jesus had a mom. His name was Mary. And she was engaged. But before she got married, before they came together and did something, she was pregnant. Interesting, right? And then it gives us Joseph's perspective in verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, being righteous, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. So Joseph thought on these things, said, I want to get married to this woman, but she's pregnant, and it's not mine. That's not the way it normally goes. And I think that instead of making a public disgrace about this, which was his right, we'll just do a quiet thing. It'll be done, and that's fine. So these are the thoughts that Joseph is thinking. But, verse 20, while he thought on these things, behold, just a quick note, Joseph didn't do anything in haste. He was thinking, he was considering. He gave God time to work, it looks like. In verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, or is from God. That would be quite a message, right? So this woman that you're about to marry, it didn't seem like he knew this before. And she's pregnant. She's got a baby in there. But don't worry. It's not some other guy's. It's from God. I'm not quite sure how comforting that would be. That's a big responsibility, right? But that was the message. And in verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And so this is who Jesus is. He wasn't the son of Joseph. He was the son of God. And he was the son of Mary, but God and Mary had the baby. And so this is his prophecy. Now let's look at verse 22. It says, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So we see that Jesus was he special? Yes, most certainly. He was the Son of God. Was he promised about for a long time? Son of Abraham, son of David. And then he's finally brought forth. He's being born. And it says that in verse 22, that all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. If you guys heard, well, Eric's prayer, and then you heard the manifestations, did you guys hear anything about God being with us this morning? Yes. It wasn't always like that. And I want you to turn back to Isaiah 7. I mean, what you already know from the scriptures, our separation from God in the garden occurred, right? We were out. And I'm going to emphasize this a couple of times because God with us, this is what I thought it used to mean. Emmanuel, God with us, that God so faithfully, or that Jesus Christ so faithfully represented God in his earthly ministry that he could say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's what I thought Emmanuel meant. Maybe that's what you guys thought too. But it's a little bit more basic than that. It's a little bit more simple. It's God's with you. God is for you. God wants to be at peace with you. It's not so much what Jesus Christ did, but it's God's promise being fulfilled that he is going to be with man again, that he's going to be on your side, that he's going to be for you. And in Isaiah 7, this is where it first comes up. And I'm going to give you a warning. Isaiah is a little bit difficult to understand. So stick with me. We're going to read the verses, and then I'm going to explain them. Because you're going to be enlightened. That veil should be lifted off as we continue to go into this. And we're going to understand, what does this have to do with Christ being God with us? Because it's confusing at first. But with God's faithfulness in our lives, we're going to understand this together. Okay? So in Isaiah 7, verse 3, it says, Then said the Lord unto Isaiah, go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and Shear-Jashub, thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field, and say unto him, take heed. So God's telling Isaiah, go to Ahaz. Ahaz was a king of God's people at the time. Go over there. Verse 4, say unto him, take heed and be quiet. Fear not, neither be faint-hearted. For the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria and of the son of Remaliah, Because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, so Isaiah saying to King Ahaz, don't be scared of these two kings, because they're saying against you, let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. So God told Isaiah, tell Ahaz, don't be scared of these two kings. They're saying, I'm going to come and we're going to set up a king in your kingdom. So what would that do with Ahaz? Ahaz would no longer be king, right? That would make Ahaz probably a little bit troubled if he was the king. But he's being told, it's not going to come to pass. Don't worry about it. Verse 7, thus saith the Lord God, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin, and within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. So Isaiah again tells Ahaz, don't be scared because of these nations. They're not even going to stand one day. So don't be scared. You're going to be just fine. And then in verse 10, moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, ask a sign. You don't believe me? He says, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. Okay, if God says, ask for a sign, do you think that it's obedient to God to say, I'm not going to ask a sign of you? No. If God says, I'm going to ask, then you say, okay. You might say, what should I ask? But you should definitely ask, right? Because God said to, okay? And at first you think, oh, well, how noble of Ahaz. He doesn't need it. Well, we're going to go back in 2 Kings to see how noble Ahaz really was. But so God says, oh, no, here's the sign. You're not going to ask for one. I'm still giving you one. And this is where Emmanuel comes up in verse 13. And he said, oh, well, this is Isaiah's response. Hear you now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also? Okay. If God says ask, or then you ask, okay? If you don't, that's wearying God. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. That's pretty fantastic. Okay, he said, you didn't want a sign, I'm going to give you a sign. There's going to be a virgin, it's going to bear a son, and that son's name is going to be Emmanuel. Well, what's the big deal? Isn't God always with us? Turn to 2 Kings. Let me tell you why that's so significant to Ahaz. And why it's significant to us. So 2 Kings chapter 17 and in verse 1. It says, in the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, began Hoshea, the son of Elah, to reign in Samaria over Israel 9 years. So we're just being told about all these different kings, but Ahaz is king of Judah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, but not as the kings of Israel that were before him. Ahaz was not special. A lot of kings did evil in the sight of the Lord. And as king, he also set a pattern for his nation. And in verse 7, we're going to read about this. And as we're reading in verse 7, these things also aren't particular or unique to the children of Israel. We're going to read some of the stuff that they did. And this, by the way, this corresponds directly with Isaiah, where we read where this prophecy comes up. It's not unique to them. These things that we're reading, that we're going to be reading in 2 Kings 7, I battled with, should we read these or not? Yes, we should, because it's basically our history. This is us, too. And you'll see what I mean as we get into it. Because if we don't acknowledge that we are frail, that indeed we ourselves do evil things, did evil things. A love for a man who was sent to bring me back to a God I was separated from is not going to be there. Because I don't even need that. I've already got it good. If I don't acknowledge that these things I'm reading are a pretty good description of me and the world, and yet God had a heart to fix that, then my love isn't going to be growing. If I get more comfortable, more acquainted with the fact that, yeah, I was pretty bad once and I was really bad, my love is going to get that much bigger because I'm actually going to understand the reality of the situation. If I read this and go, oh, well, poor children of Israel, no wonder they had it, you know, it was rough for them, then I'm missing something because I'm in that same boat. We're all in that same boat. And if I want my love to grow, then I need to understand the actual reality of the situation. My eyes need to be open to that. Because it's not just, well, some people were bad and some weren't, or I really wasn't. It's true. This is me. And God really had a heart for me and all mankind to fix this. So King Ahaz, he did evil on the sight of the Lord. And in verse 7, we're going to read about some of the effects of that for the whole nation. It says, for so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods. So it says that God delivered his people out of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and they started fearing other gods. They didn't fear the God that delivered them. And in verse 8, and they walked in the statues of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel and of the kings of Israel, which they had made. They walked in what God had taken away. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God. And they built them high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city. And they set them up images and groves in every high hill and under every green tree. Now it says that they did these things secretly, things that weren't right against God. They started worshiping other things. They started looking to other things. And not just a little bit in my living room, but everywhere they went, right? And there they burnt incense in all the high places, as did the heathen whom the Lord carried away before them. God did so much to take that away, and then they went and walked right back into it. And they wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. For they served idols, whereof the Lord had said unto them, you shall not do this thing. This is not what God wanted. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, turn you from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants, the prophets. You know, it's pretty typical of man what we read, but it's also typical of God. He sent prophets. He sent people. Turn from this. Come follow me. Come turn to me. That's God's heart, that even in the midst of people turning away and backing away from God, God's saying, no, turn to me. I'm going to send people to you. I want you. That's God's heart in this. Notwithstanding, verse 14, they would not hear, but hardened their necks. You know, can you just imagine that? You ever get prideful and you're like, no, I'm not going to listen. Like to the neck of their fathers. You know, just like their fathers said they did. They did not believe in the Lord their God. And they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers and his testimonies which he testified against them. And they followed vanity and became vain and went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God and made the molten images, two calves, and made a grove, and worshipped all the host of heaven and served Baal. Who made the host of heaven? God. You know, this is they worshipped and served the creation more than the creator. And God is, you know, he was sending. He's sending. He said, no, I want to be with you. I want to. And they left that. And they caused their sons, verse 17, and their daughters to pass through the fire and use divination and enchantments. So they even got into some other lesser power, and they sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord. They prostituted themselves for other things to provoke him to anger. In verse 18, therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only. God is not like a man, but he still feels. This didn't please him that his people were rejecting him. And here it says that he had removed Israel. A little history lesson. There was 12 tribes of Israel, and there was 10 and 2 that got split. And we're not going to go into why today. But so the 10 tribes were called the tribes of Israel, and the 2 tribes were called Judah. God worked with them independently. And at this point, Israel had already been left. And King Ahaz was the king of Judah. And so he's saying he was angry with Israel and removed them, and he only had Judah left, and that would be the 2 tribes in there. But look at verse 19. Also, Judah kept not the commandments of the Lord their God, but walked in the statutes of Israel, which they made. In verse 20, and the Lord rejected all the seed of Israel and afflicted them and delivered them into the hand of spoilers until he had cast them out of his sight. So why is it significant that God gave Ahaz a sign of Emmanuel, God with us? Because Ahaz was removed, and all of Israel was removed out of God's sight, out of his presence. And yet God didn't want that. God said, Emmanuel, this is going to happen. I'm going to be with you again. Emmanuel, turn back to Isaiah 8. Even though right now this is not the way I want it to be, there's a plan set in motion. There's a plan I'm working on. There's a plan that's going to come to fruition in the Son who's going to bring us together again. And we don't necessarily need to read chapter 8, but if you want to, I told you that those 2 kings, that Ahaz didn't have to worry about the 2 kings. Well, right after the 2 kings was going to be the nation of Assyria, and Assyria was going to conquer Judah and drive them out of his sight. But even in the midst of this, let's read it. In Isaiah 8, verse 5, the Lord spake also unto me again, saying, for so much as this people refuses the waters of Shiloh that go softly and rejoice in Rezin and Remaliasen. So he's saying, even though my people refuse my waters, my soft waters, my goodness, and they rejoice in these things and that thing. Now therefore, behold, the Lord's going to bring upon them the waters of the river, strong and many, even the king of Assyria. And he's going to come up over all his channels and go over all his banks. He's going to go past through Judah. He's going to overflow and go over, and he shall reach even to that prideful neck. And the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of thy land. O Emmanuel. God was still looking forward. O Emmanuel. Okay. Yep, Assyria is going to overtake you now. But O Emmanuel, this is my heart. God wants to be with you. He's for you. He's not against you. Even in the midst of this, God said, no, this isn't going to be the way it's going to stay. I'm working. And if you read verse 9, it says that his counsel is going to stand. I'm going to read this in the NIV. It says, raise the war cry, you nations, and be shattered. Listen, all you distant lands. Prepare for the battle and be shattered. Prepare for the battle and be shattered. Verse 10, devise your strategy, but it will be thwarted. Propose your plan, but it will not stand. For God is with us. That God is with us means Emmanuel. He's saying, okay, world, do the best you can, but it's not going to stand because I'm going to send my son. I'm giving you a sign. I'm sending him, and his name is going to be Emmanuel, God with us. How impactful is that when here I am in the midst of, and God says, well, here's a sign. Emmanuel, here's my son, Jesus. I'm going to be with you. And, you know, as we discover more about Jesus, we realize that that's an unbreakable bond now. God will always be with us. Go back to Luke chapter 1. Do you guys see a little bit more of the significance of Emmanuel and what that would mean? Like I said, it's a lot different than what I originally thought, but how impactful, how, you know, basic. But if that wasn't true, we'd be pretty lost, right? And Luke chapter 1 and verse 68. This is Zacharias speaking, and he was the father of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was a man that was preparing, was going to be a man that was going to prepare the way for Jesus Christ to come. And this is 3 months before Jesus is born. And listen to what he has to say about Jesus Christ. This is, oh, by the way, this is the first time that Zacharias has talked in almost at the course of his whole life's pregnancy, because he was not allowed to speak anything, and it was impossible for him to talk. And as soon as he's able to talk, he realizes, okay, my son John the Baptist, who is scared to prepare the way for Jesus Christ, he realizes that's something that God's promise is beginning to be fulfilled physically on this earth. And that's pretty exciting. People longed in the Old Testament to be a part of that day. And Zacharias is starting to get his eyes open to what's about to happen. And out of that, in verse 68, he says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people." His eyes were starting to open and see this promise is being fulfilled of God with us. God is, he's visiting us this way. He is sending his son to redeem his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. You know, this was not a secret of what God wanted. And now it's coming to pass, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham. You know, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers. Did we deserve for God to send Jesus when we think of those things? No, but he did. He performed his mercy that he promised. Go to chapter 2. We'll start in verse 6. "And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered." This is talking about Mary. She was pregnant. Remember, we picked that up in Matthew 1. Now she's having the baby. "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." In verse 8, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." In verse 10, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Had he done anything at that point? No. No, he hadn't, but God saw what was happening. He understood. He wasn't looking at this in a carnal way. Oh, what a cute baby. I wonder what color eyes he had, and I wonder if it was brown or blue, and was he a chubby baby, or was he skinny? No, he was looking at it saying, a Savior, Christ the Lord, Emmanuel. "And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And then look at this. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." On earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. On earth goodwill. Did God send Jesus Christ to condemn man? No, but I want you to come join me. I want you to be with me. God with us. Go back to Matthew 1. I'm going to close here, Wayne. And see if our eyes are a little bit open more to this truth of 22 and 23. "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of," Matthew chapter 1, verse 22, "which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Is God against us? Is God far from us? God is with us. And he did that through his son, Jesus. So thank you. And Wayne, you want to come
Thanks, Claire. We're going to take a break for 30 minutes. So let's be back in here.